Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Our study in the first epistle to the Corinthians has brought us to chapter 12. And chapter 12 has brought us to a new subject, namely the subject of spiritual gifts, as Paul is clearly answering questions that they have sent to him about that very subject. And it is a very important subject, and it requires extensive teaching, which really takes up all of chapters 12, 13, and 14. Prior to today, we have studied the first section, which is verses 1 through 11 of chapter 12, where we have talked about the authenticity, the unity, and the diversity that is found in spiritual gifts. But now, beginning at verse 12, we come to an extended section on the nature of the body, namely the church, the local church body. Now, some would say this looks like a new subject. And it might look like it unless you are looking very carefully, but no, it's not a new subject, because this section now explains the purpose and function for the variety of spiritual gifts. That was emphasized in the previous verses, that among spiritual gifts there's great variety. The Holy Spirit of God does not give the same gifts to everyone, does not give any one gift to everyone. But there is a variety of gifts, and now the explanation is given to us as we see the comparison to the human body. So this section, considered apart from the context, might seem like a new subject, but in context it is clearly and vitally connected to enable us to understand spiritual gifts. And we have to understand something of the nature of the human body in order to do that. And when we make the analogy that Paul makes, then that helps us to understand spiritual gifts. I hope I've made myself sufficiently clear, but we'll get into it after I welcome you to this Wednesday, March 23. And thank you for your financial help, which enables us to teach God's Word on the station. Well, Paul introduces the analogy in verses 12, 13, and 14. Paul says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Here is teaching by way of analogy. Analogy is setting down something with which we are familiar, and then drawing from that familiar subject parallels to a spiritual lesson, which will now help us understand something in the realm of doctrine, in the realm of the Spirit. And so, Paul begins by talking about the human body in the church. Back to verse 12, "For as the body," he's talking here about the human body, "for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." There's the parallel. There's the connection. in the human body, we have many members. And he'll explain more what he means by that, but I'll mention it now. He's talking about the different parts of the body. He'll go on a little bit later to talk about not everybody can be an eye, not everybody can be whatever, this part or that part of the body. Because the human body has many different members with different functions, but that doesn't mean that all of these different members of the body are disconnected from the body. They are all connected to the body. They are all essential to the body. And Paul says the same thing is true in the body of Christ. There are many members, many, many, many members, but one body. I say many, many, many members. That, of course, depends upon the size of the church. But the church, universal, is made up of thousands, I would say probably millions of local churches. And some of them are large and some of them are small. But the same principle applies to all of them. Every local church has many members. Some say, well, mine doesn't have many members. It's only got a dozen. Okay. But the same principle works, the same teaching works. 12 members is certainly more than one body. And that's the point. There are many members, but one body. All of them belong to the one body, and there's only one body. And that's also true of the Church of Christ. There is diversity, great diversity, in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, or I should say perhaps the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is also interconnectedness. We are familiar, no doubt, with the hymn that says, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, is the hymn in view. And that's a portion of the hymn that we sing, and we understand what that means. Though we are many different members all around the world, nevertheless, one body, all one body, we, all who are truly in Christ, are united in Christ, united in the gospel, united in Christian conduct and living and expectations. All one body, we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity, that is love. So the human body will help us to understand the body of Christ. And that will help us to understand the subject of spiritual gifts. He goes on in verse 13 to talk about the Holy Spirit in the church. First, in verse 12, the human body in the church, but now verse 13, the Holy Spirit in the church. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. All believers are baptized into one body. There is no member, and here the emphasis is upon the universal body, the body made up of all born-again believers. And we are told here that there is no member of Christ's body who is not baptized into that body by the Holy Spirit. Now, that in its sense itself is a very important point, isn't it? Back to verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. That is, all believers, all those who are born again, all who have been saved by the grace of God, have all been baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. There is no such thing as a member of Christ's body who has not been baptized by the Holy Spirit into that body. That statement, very clearly given to us here in 1 Corinthians 12:13, needs to be examined carefully in the light of the teaching that there are some Christians who are Spirit-filled Christians because they have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, and there are other Christians who are not Spirit-filled Christians because they have not yet been baptized by the Holy Spirit. But Paul says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Now the question, of course, is what does he mean here by baptism? And it's, what should I say? It's tricky, but I would say that the baptism of which he speaks here is regeneration, the new birth. Baptism into the body of Christ is a way of describing being born again, being given life and placed into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. We call that the new birth. We call that regeneration. And here we're told that this baptism by the Spirit is not a second work of grace. It is the experience of all true Christians. Elsewhere, Paul will tell us that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. You can't be a Christian without possessing the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul says in the statement I just made. But here in front of us, he tells us you can't be a Christian without having been baptized by the Spirit. Now, where does water baptism come into this equation? Water baptism symbolizes this truth. I think it's clear that here he's talking about what we sometimes call Spirit baptism, the baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. But water baptism is a symbolic picture of that truth, and it is a testimony that the person who is being baptized believes that this is what the Holy Spirit has done in his life. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. All believers are baptized into one body. All believers drink of one Spirit. That is, all believers are partakers of the Holy Spirit. All have the Spirit in abundant supply. Does that mean that there is no variation? That there are no Christians who seem to have a larger influence of the Holy Spirit in their life than others? I'm not saying that. I think that actually that is true, that it is possible to have more of the Spirit, as we would call it, or maybe that's the wrong way to look at it, but that's often the way we describe it. But a more accurate description would probably be a greater influence, a greater exercise of the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of some believers and others. But there is no such thing as a believer who hasn't been baptized by the Holy Spirit, and there is no such thing as a believer who does not possess the Holy Spirit and possess the Holy Spirit in abundance. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That drinking into one Spirit is a portrayal of abundance. We drink freely. We drink abundantly of the Holy Spirit. All believers do that. So if you are troubled by the idea that though a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't possess the Holy Spirit, you haven't been baptized by the Holy Spirit, you need some second work of grace to experience the fullness of what God has for you, you are missing the point of what Paul is telling us in this passage. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day, may God give you his eternal peace.